Howdy. Welcome to episode 1.5 of part 1 of The Warp and Woof. I'm your host, Grover Elliott. Today I'll be covering my 5th defining characteristic. I am a Texan. You can take the man out of Texas, but you can never take Texas out of the man. I wasn't born there, and I no longer live there, but I grew up in the great state of Texas. If you've ever met a Texan, you know why I rank this as number 5 of my self-identity markers. We like to brag about Texas to a ridiculous level sometimes, admittedly. Now, if you are a Texan, you're probably wondering why I ranked this way down at number 5 and yet still have the audacity to call myself a Texan. Fair enough. But that state's rich history has created a mold we all, every American, to some extent, try to fill. Everybody loves cowboys, barbecue, tequila, and that rugged sense of individualism, right? But in truth, every state has this aspect to them, and these state personalities change over time. So how much has the place where you grew up and or live affected you as a person? Hopefully, only for the better. I will say, you people from Boston seriously need to learn how to speak like a human being. Why does it always sound like you want to fight, even when you're inviting someone over for Thanksgiving dinner? I mean, my current home state makes headlines every November when some brother-in-law gets stabbed over a drumstick, but we still sound more hospitable. Now, let's laugh at one another. The alternative is to fight over differences. And differences should be embraced. We have so many of them throughout the United States, so we should take full advantage of getting to see and appreciate different ways of living. It doesn't matter how many PSI were in the football, Tom Brady was pretty incredible, and that admission is coming from a bitter Dallas fan. I'll always be a Texan, from my boots to the way I speak, and I'm proud of it. Not to the exclusion of your being proud of your roots, these are just mine. And my loyalty lies there. In fact, this is a prioritized list of my loyalties from top to bottom. I'm an individual, I'm a Christian, I'm a husband, I'm a father, and I'm a Texan. An individual, Christian, husband, father, Texan. Embrace your roots. Be proud of your roots. And accept other people's roots. Accept their points of view. Do you? It's all relative, after all. What's a Yankee? I had this discussion with several friends. One of them from Oklahoma said to our Wisconsinite friend, "You don't understand because you're just a dang Yankee." Now, our friend from Wisconsin asked, "A Yankee, eh? And what do you suppose that is, see?" The Okie replied, "Anyone from north of the Mason-Dixon line." I said, "I thought a Yankee was anyone from north of I-20. Our Cajun friend retorted, "I thought it was anyone from north of I-10. Everything is relative, but we all laughed and we're all close friends. Our differences, especially, make us tighter. Embrace those differences and work hard to understand them. You'll likely find that through differences, you find commonalities. Mississippi is full of racist, white, illiterate, redneck bigots, right? Much of the country has been taught that. Most of the media still project that idea, across the entire Southeast for that matter. But if you're from one of the more enlightened and tolerant areas of the country, consider this. Mississippi contains the highest percentage of blacks of any state, 38%, while fully integrated Shangri-Las like New York come in at less than half that percentage. In fact, the top 12 states as ranked by percentage of black population are Mississippi, Louisiana, Georgia, Maryland, Alabama, South Carolina, Delaware, North Carolina, Virginia, Tennessee, Florida, and Arkansas. Did a particular region of the United States materialize in your head? You might consider Maryland and Delaware to be outside the Southeast, but they were border states during the Civil War. They kept slavery, but didn't secede. History ain't so simple, is it? No simpler than current times. The rampant, systemic, racism that is claimed to exist in these areas just simply isn't there. How can you survive when all you want to do is persecute 38% of your client base and neighbors? Well, you can't. Here's another interesting fact. Washington, D.C. has a higher percentage of blacks than Mississippi at 41.4%. Now, that's enlightenment. But what if I told you blacks represented 72% of the deaths from COVID in Washington, D.C.? The point is, just because someone is from somewhere else doesn't mean you know how they tick. In fact, it means just the opposite. So sit a spell and ask them about themselves. Don't wait for someone else to tell you what to think about them. Every time I visit my friend in Wisconsin, I'm reminded of the fact that the South doesn't hold a monopoly on rednecks. Are they some good people amongst the cheeseheads? I've seen more interracial couples in the Southeast than anywhere else I've traveled, though the statistics on marriage would indicate otherwise. And what about all those Aryans in Idaho, those white supremacists? Did you know that the Aryan Nation was labeled a national terrorist threat by the FBI? And yet, at their national symposium in the late 70s, the most they could count among their membership was between 1 and 200 nationwide. What you've been taught about your state is probably only half right. But what you've been taught about other states is at least half wrong. I didn't mean for this to be a piece on racism, but racism is used as a major dividing factor in our country today. But it's our choice to change that. When I was in seventh grade, I had a history teacher, great history teacher. I can only name about five teachers and professors throughout my entire educational career that had a profound effect on me as an individual. Now, I'll bet it's pretty much the same for you. But Miss Carroll was awesome. She's dead now, or I assume she is, so I can tell this story that she told us not to repeat. She was at a teacher's conference along with, well, a lot of other teachers, and a representative from a major textbook publishing company was speaking about their latest American history textbook. He went on and on and on, and then he reached for the box of books that was sitting beside him to hand out some of the samples. Then he stopped and apologized that he didn't have the books with him. Now, the teachers protested, pointing out the large and heavy book box right next to him. After being pressed, he admitted that he had books, but he didn't have the books. He had the Northern printing. Yeah, that's the sound the teachers made as well. What? Northern printing? They exasperated. What is such a thing? Well, he confessed, we print different books for the North and the South. Small differences here and there. Lessons that emphasize different places and events according to location and what's important there. But no problem, the teachers protested. We get that. But we can still check out the quality of the product. He said, no. When you get to the Civil War section, you'll likely revolt. The two versions are very different. Did it make me want to revolt against the cabal that brainwashes us into division and submission? Well, not in seventh grade, probably. But it did make me hold tighter to the first moral lesson I can remember receiving. It was from my grandmother. She said, always get at least two sides of the story before you make up your mind. I've tried to do that with my own state, Texas. I read about the Texicans, the Mexicans, the Spanish, the Roman Catholics, the Native Americans, the flora, the fauna, and the Tennesseans. Everything that played a major role in making Texas the state that I love and that it is today. Be proud of where you come from and where you are. Learn about it and learn about the others. Get at least two sides of the story before you make up your mind. Being a Texan gives me a place, a background, a clan to which to belong, a base of pride. But I'm not just a Texan, unless she ever heads out on her own, in which case I'll move back. I'm an American, and that is coming up next.